Okay, we'll sit. Okay, today we're going to begin the new sugya, talking about the Taz, the famous Taz. Taz writes several places in Shulchan Aruch that if the something that is mefurish in the Torah being mutter, then Chazal don't have the jurisdiction to create an isser. Because Chazal make a lot of isurim, but that's only when it's not the feirush in the Torah that something is mutter. When it's the feirush in the Torah that something is mutter, then Chazal can't make an isser. And we're going to see the scope of this idea. Okay, so the Torah tells us in Parshas Shoftim, Ki pole mimcho dova la mishpat ben dom la dom ben din la din u ben nega la nega divrei rivos bisharecha mekamto valisa la makom sheivcha Hashem lukach bo. That ki pole mimcho dova means something is, Rashi says, mechusa mimcha. It's not clear. Something is mechusa mimcha, and you don't know the halacha. Bein dam ladam. Rashi says, bein dam tome ladam tohar. Bein din ladin. Whether somebody is zakai or chayiv, bein nega lanega. Whether the nega is tome, nega is tohar. So there, the kamto v'alisa l'mokom ma'sheivcha Hashem l'kachabo. Then you go into the Sanhedrin, and then you have to do whatever the Sanhedrin tells you. V'asisa al pi hadova sheigidu l'cha min ha'mokom ahui sheivcha Hashem v'shamarta l'asos k'chol asher yerucha. So this is the famous concept of the authority of the Sanhedrin. Al pi haTorah asher yarucha v'al mishpat asher yomru lecha ta'aseh v'ososu min hadover asher yagidu lecha yomin u'smol. You should not veer from the words of the Sanhedrin. So this we've talked about is the authority of the Sanhedrin, and we know the famous Rambam. The Rambam says that all dinim derabbanan come from this pasuk. It's not only if you have a shaila about something, you go to the Sanhedrin, but the fact that the Sanhedrin has the ability to make a takana ledoros, is also included in this pasuk. So if you take a look now at Bosai, in the Gemara Sanhedrin on Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, on page 5, Tanya Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Shamati Shebezdin Makin Ve'Onshin Shalom in HaTorah. He says he heard that Beis Din could give punishments shalom in HaTorah. Says Rashi, Shemati mi Rabosai, she Beis Din mutorim liyos makin malkus ve'onshin onesh shel misa shalom in HaTorah. So what does that mean? That means they could punish somebody without the regular halacha of Beis Din. In other words, the regular halacha of Beis Din is you need two edim to come to witness, right? So that is But Bezer is marking the Onshin Shalom in the Torah. There's a famous Rosh Haran. I should have put it in the packet here. The Rosh Haran says that really the halacha has two tracks. There's the Beis Din track and the Melech track. The Beis Din track is if Beis Din needs to punish somebody, so they have to, they need the formal edus of two edim, etc. And if they don't have that, even though they know this guy is doing illicit things, but if they don't have the technical prerequisite testimony of two edim, then they can't punish him. So then there's a second track, and that's the track of the melech. And so the melech could do things outside the regular realm. In other words, if the melech knows that this guy is a criminal, but we can never get him because of technicalities, that there were no two edim there. So the Ran says that the melech could go and punish him. Right? But so there's the Beis Din track, which is follows the regular rules, and the melech track. So Beis Din makim shalom shalom adin means that if there's no melech there, if there's no melech, then Beis Din can also take on the role of the melech. You know? Sometimes Beis Din can take on the role of the melech and punish even though there's no technical edim, etc. That's if there's no melech. So take a look at page 5. Tanya Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. Shamati Shebeis Din Makin Ve'onshin Shalom Min HaTorah. The lo lavo al divrei Torah ela kidei laso siag lo Torah. But sometimes Beis Din can do something that's not the regular rules of the Torah, right? And they could punish somebody who really doesn't deserve punishment according to the regular rules. But in order to keep everything in order, they can sometimes work without the regular rules. He gives you an example. Somebody went on a horse on Shabbos. Bimei Yevanim, in the time of the Greeks. They view the Beis Din. Now, going on a horse on Shabbos is not the worst thing you could do. It's only a derabbanan, right? Going on a horse on Shabbos. You're not supposed to ride a horse on Shabbos because you might come to break off a branch if you were, right? So it's only a derabbanan. So it was a case where somebody was riding a horse on Shabbos, and they brought him to Beis Din, Uskalu! And they gave him skila. Vayishaloylam. He didn't even violate a malacha d'oraisa. A drabonim certainly doesn't get skila. Lobibne shaloy lakach, elishah shot sricha lakach. In other words, it wasn't that he was Roy Lakach, in other words, he didn't deserve it because he only did it the Rabbanon. So says Rashi, El Shasot Tzichokach, Mutei Shayu Prutzim Baveris, Shirom Lokzot Shalisho, Shayavarim, Hegozim Alei, Zeris, Vayu, Mitzvah Bezuyas Beinei. So they saw that people were violating Averis, and they felt that if we're going to allow somebody to do such a public desecration of Shabbos, even though it wasn't technically Chil Shabbos, I mean it was Drabon Chil Shabbos, they feel that certain times they have to put their foot down because it's a zilzal. Even though technical halacha, and I told you, the Drashas Haran says that usually when there was a melech, the melech usually did those things. The melech was in charge of keeping law and order. Like if somebody was committing crimes, and we know he's committing crimes, but every time he commits crime, there's only one aid. So we can never get him. So the melech has that right. So the Drosh Haran said, the concept of bezin makin va'onshin shalom adin means that sometimes when there's no melech, the Bezdin has the din of melech. Because usually the Bezdin, again, Bezdin has to follow the formalities of halacha. Two edim, you know, you have to have specific type of testimony, even though they know this guy is not doing right things, but they don't, they can't have the actual testimony, then they're not. Right? And so the Ran says when there's no melech, the Bezdin also could do that. Because here, there's no right to kill the guy. He did it the Rabbanan. He did it the Rabbanan. Why are you killing him? Bezdin said something, makim va'onshin shalom and adin. And then they give you another example. Shuv leisei ba'odem lecha tshiktiach es isha tachas ateinu. A man had relations with his wife in public, underneath a fig tree. So obviously that's not a proper thing to do, but you don't get misa for that, right? If you're a bezdin, they'll kua. You don't get malchus for that. Lo b'nei sharoi l'kach, el shashot tzricha l'kach. Because they felt that people are going to, you know, do brazen things of that are not proper, even though they're not technical things that get those punishments, they could sometimes do these things. So the question is, what does it mean, lo lavor al divrei Torah? Lo lavor al divrei Torah. So if you look in the Taz, on page 8, so the Taz has a yesod that he's going to posit. He says it in three different places in Shulchan Aruch. And one of the places in Siv Beis, even though it's Gimel here, it says Gimel, but it's really Beis, because it's a continuation from Beis. It's just on the same page where Gimel begins. So says the Taz, Toshe, Mehei Pesu She Avro Al Divrei Torah? Why would you think Bezdin would violate the Torah? Nearly, but Chachamim could say something is really mutter, but they're gnasim. And this is the big yisod, that if you have something in the Torah, let me give you an example. Bishalakim. Let's take Bishalakim for example. Okay? This shayla comes up a lot. Bishalakum, right? The nanny cooked scrambled eggs for breakfast. The nanny cooked scrambled eggs. The pasha says, you have to throw it out. Right? Now, the Rebbe says that the scrambled eggs are totally kosher ingredients. It's a kosher pot. Kosher eggs, and no trained anything. But the nanny cooked. She cooked. Bishalakum. So bishalakum is forbidden to eat. So Chachamim made that up. But let me ask you a question. Did the Torah ever say explicitly that bishalakum is mutter? If there would have been a pasuk in the Chumash that said that bishalakum is mutter, then the Chachamim couldn't have asked it. Look, the Torah never speaks about it, so of course it's mutter. Everything's mutter until proven nasa. Right? Right?
the Torah doesn't speak about it. So if the Torah doesn't speak about it, it's mutter. Okay? Right? The Torah says everything that you can't do, the Torah tells you you can't do. And there's certain things that are mitzvahs that you have to do. But if the Torah doesn't ask it, it's mutter. So here, the Torah didn't speak about it. So obviously that means it's mutter. But the Torah never said it beferish. The Torah never said it beferish that it's mutter. It's mutter because it doesn't say it's also. So now the Chachamim could go ahead. Chachamim can go ahead and what? And aser it. But if the Torah would have said that something is mutter, then the Chachamim can't aser it. I'll give you an example in a second. Okay? So that's what he means. Whereas if the Torah by Chalev it says Yasa l'chol melacha, you can do whatever you want with Chalev. You can do anything you want. Yasa l'chol melacha. So then the Chacham can't answer and say that. In other words, you can't eat Chalev, but you can do with anything else you want to do with it. It's mutar b'hana. Says an Israchim. So the Torah says beferish, yasa kol melacha. So then the Chachamim can't make an isra. Lo lavor al divrei Torah. So divrei Torah beforeish mikri over al divrei Torah. So he says what it says lo lavor al divrei Torah means that the Chachamim, even though they can make takaris, Chachamim can tell us light candles for a karika. Okay, make a mitzvah. They can also make a beris. The Shalachim, I gave you a good example. The Shalachim. That's the Drabonim. Muktzah. Muktzah, Pasha says, is the Drabonim. I mean, Pasha. You know, little kids, you know, everything that's on Sir Shabbos is Muktzah. They don't understand the difference between there's a Malacha, there's a, if you can't do a child, oh, it's Muktzah, that's Muktzah. Even though it's nothing to do with Muktzah. The writing, that's muktzah. You know, muktzah. That's how they're in their minds. You know, Shabbos, muktzah. But, so the Chachamim invented muktzah, all three pashas, right? But you can't move muktzah. Because the Torah doesn't speak about it. If the Torah doesn't speak about it, then the Chachamim have the ability to make an isra. If the Torah speaks about it, if the Torah speaks about it and says it's okay, then what? Then it's out of their jurisdiction. So that's what it means. Lo lavo al divrei Torah, meaning the Chachamim's jurisdiction can't be lavo al divrei Torah, because if the Torah says yes to something explicitly, then Chacham can answer. Let me give you an easier example. Then let's go. I'm going to get to the Macholi Akum thing in a second. But I'll give you an example on page 12. The Taz on page 12. We know there is a halacha Yantav. So Rosh Hashanah Shachal Yos B'Shabbos ain't talking B'Shofar. Right? When Rosh Hashanah falls out of Shabbos, no Shofar. Right? We all know that. No Shofar. Why? Because you might come to carry the Shofar. You know, those days people actually didn't carry on Shabbos. You know, they have Erev, so who cares? So we come to a lot of carrying Shabbos. So today there are a lot of proliferations of Erevin throughout the, that became the thing in this generation. Interesting. When I was growing up, it was very uncommon to have Erevin. There's a few communities that had in around. Like Staten Island had, you know,
Queens is a little later. Staten Island has. You see, Queens, I never heard of Queens when I was growing up. I'll tell you why. Because I'm from Brooklyn. So all my friends were from Brooklyn. So sometimes you had a boy from Staten Island come to, you know, yeshiva in Brooklyn. But from Queens, no one came from Queens to Brooklyn for elementary school. So all my friends were from Brooklyn. So when there was a classmate of mine that moved to New Jersey, that was like moving to Spain. that was beyond the, it was like a different, New Jersey, that was like a different world. So I knew from my friend, Yankee Fader, the friend, so that, in Staten Island they had, way before anyone dreamt of Irvin, Staten Island had an Irv. Marcus, but well, that's a whole different story. That's for a different time. Yeah, Rabbi Eider was one of the people involved. Rabbi Shimon Eider, heard of Rabbi Shimon Eider? He's from the original people who wrote English halacha for him. I'll tell you something. I remember when I first came to YU in the early years, the Sfarim sale was in this room. This room. That's where the Sfarim sale was. And it was a popular sale. You would think, what's this room? You understand Belfer, big sale. But here, it was a very big sale because the whole English industry didn't exist yet. They only had Rabbi Shimon Eider. It was the whole English industry of, pre-art school. Pre-art school. The whole art school industry didn't exist yet. Okay, so that's the halacha. You can't blow shofar a Rosh Hashanah Shechal Yos Kushabas. Now, what about a regular Rosh Hashanah? So then that's the mitzvah. Yom Teruah. But let me ask you a question. And this, the Taz is going to discuss this question. Isn't there an Isser on Shabbos to play musical instruments on Shabbos?
No.
What?
There is no Isser to play it, but there is to fix it. So you can't play it.
Right. Exactly. You can't play it because you might come to fix it. So there's an Isser to play musical instruments on Shabbos. So no musical instruments on Shabbos. Okay? I mean, in the Reform, there was a big thing with the Reform temples. They had the organs on, that was another issue of, the Kokose, because it came from the church, that they would have organs and things like that. So let me ask a question. You know what? This is all in the Taz, not my own. It says, why don't we say the following? Why? We said you can't blow shofar or a shofar because you might carry the shofar. Why don't we just say no shofar anymore because of the issue of musical instruments and chops? And, right? Even under every Rosh Hashanah, we should ask for it. That's the point. That's the answer. So that's the Taz as you sow. Because the Torah says you blow shofar. So you have to blow shofar sometimes. But you only can blow shofar. It says you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah. It's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah. So if you're going to say, so there, the Torah says beferes, we blow shofar. So if we just don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, so then, the Torah never said the Pharisees are supposed to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah is not. We know there's a mitzvah of shofar. Maybe the mitzvah of shofar is only when Rosh Hashanah is not b'shabbos. It doesn't say we know the mitzvah is always, but it never says the Pharisees blow shofar even Rosh Hashanah is b'shabbos. But it does say the Pharisees blow shofar. So therefore the Chachamim are going to make a gzeira that they did on the other musical instruments, and they're going to apply that gzeira also to what? To shofar, then the whole mitzvah is gone. So that's the Taz as he sowed. Lo labor al divrei Torah. You cannot, anything that the Torah explicitly permitted, Chachamim cannot forbid. What do you think of that? Avi Shechter?
So it's after.
So
Yiddish. Okay, English.
So the Taz says, will the Taz say that is much
of
them? Because you say,
what? Oh, you see, the whole reason I'm giving these shiurim is Rabbi Tuchman said to me, why don't you speak about the question of Kiddushei Biyah? That's the whole reason. Why am I giving these shiurim about this? What's the connection to Kiddushei? In other words, the first you understood, the Kiddushei Kesem, you did very something. So now I'm moving on to Kiddushei Biyah. In other words, Kiddushei Biyah means that instead of getting married with a coin or a ring, right, the bia itself is the marriage, right? That's kesher shtar bia. That's the mission. And then the Gemara says, but you shouldn't do bia. It's not right to do bia. So the whole question that I'm leading up to discuss is how were the chachamim able to forbid kedushei bia if the Torah explicitly says there is kedushei bia. There it's explicit. That's the question. That's why I made 7 packets for this. No, but you're going to see, we're going to go on a journey throughout the whole Torah for this. You'll see. You may need a passport, please. You may need a passport. Passport is fine. You're okay. Yeah, see, he has a passport. He has it right here. Yeah, Moshe. You understand? That's why, that's the connection to Kedushin. That question. You're going to see there's going to be another interesting thing. Should I spill the beans right now? I'm going to spill the beans right now. Okay? Listen to this. Take a look for it. I'm not going to give you the answer today. On page 14. You're going to sleep on this one. Let me ask you a question. What's the story? How many wives? One wife? Two wives? Today we can just go with one. Right? So don't have one good wife, it's all good. Right? You can't marry two wives? Awesome. Why? Because you're paying Rabbi Gershom, right? Rabbi Gershom says no two wives. Call, can you do me a favor? Call Rabbi Gershom. Page 14. Kisyen al ish tein ashim. So tell Rabbi Gershom, it's very nice that what he did, but he's going against Taz. It's a Beferish Apostle. You can't get more explicit than that.
I think there's two different cases, though. In regards to society as a whole and having the way it works out.
Right, one second.
Yeah. They're just two different things.
What do you mean, two different things? Well, doctor.
What?
Yeah,
I don't know. They feel like. I'll develop it.
Develop it. I'm not going to give the answer today. Right. But you hear the question at least.
Yeah, of course.
The Taz! King Sienna Leish Daimashim! What about the Taz? Rav Shalom. You know, Rav David Cohen from Brooklyn. The big Rav in Brooklyn. He wrote a sefer. The name of the sefer, I have it on my desk in the library. The name of the sefer is called, he wrote many sfarim. But he wrote a sefer called Taz Hayadua, the famous Taz. And the whole sefer is about this Taz. And he goes through all areas of halacha discussing this Taz. One second. So, but we're doing shofar now. But I just gave you a, because this is also like a Kedusha topic.
Right?
So I don't want to answer that now, but I'm just getting your appetite, right? Ellie Laurie, one wife?
Yeah.
Just one wife.
One wife is good
now. Yeah. Not two. No. Even though the Torah speaks about two wives. You're still insisting on one wife.
The Torah says two. Chana and Penina. It wasn't, yeah. 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 Hey, Chana and Penina, what can I tell you? Chana and Penina. Yeah. Rachel and Leah. Stay Noshim. But, you see, Rachel and Leah, that was before Matan Torah. But Kiparshas Kiseitze, that's after Matan Torah. Kisien Ali, Stay Noshim. Okay, but I don't want to talk about that today. That I told you I was going to just. Wait, but the real reason we're doing all these shiurim is Rabbi Tuchman was bothering me about this idea, about what's the idea of Kiddush Biya, of not doing, and that's what you were asking, Avishai. That's why we're doing this. But I thought, and Rabbi Tuchman thought, that would be a good topic to, you know, to this idea. But let's get one, clarification.
Yeah, I'm sure, so what the difference is between playing the musical entrance, that Hotzot, the rabbi say that we're going to make a takana you cannot carry because you're going to be over the rest of the boat. When it comes to this, the rabbanon of a baby playing instruments, that's not going to apply because
no.
The Torah, the Torah needs to be blocked.
Well, I don't understand what you
said. There's a difference between the rabbis can't say that you can take shofar on Shabbos.
You can't take shofar, you can't blow shofar on Shabbos, but you come to carry shofar in the street.
Right. That's because it's not because it's a Pesach Torah, but because the rabbis are trying to. You would think, it's
but the question is, the Chachamim also asked blow musical instruments. So therefore, based on that, they should have asked shofar b'chlal. No more shofar. No more shofar. Even on a regular Rosh Hashanah. So the question is, why not? So the Taz is going to answer, because what? Because then, in other words, they can say, don't play your guitar, your clarinet, your drums and that, fine, because the Torah never gave a mitzvah of playing drums and clarinet and guitar, but the Torah said to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. So if they're going to tell us not to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, right, then what? Then they're doing away with the mitzvah, and the Torah says b'feirush there is a mitzvah. You see, not to blow just on Rosh Hashanah Shachalios b'Shabbos. So the Torah never said b'feirush blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shacharis b'Shabbos. It said blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. It never said explicitly even on Shabbos.
I guess my question is, as long as
what is your question?
As long as it's a b'feirush in the Torah, you need to do it. So we don't care about any Isurei Derabanan anymore.
In other words, once the Torah is b'feirush to do it, then yeah. Rabbanan don't have the jurisdiction.
Even though there is an Isurei Derabanan of playing musical instruments on Yom Tov. But not for shofar, because shofar is
b'feirush. Right, because if it would apply to shofar, then the whole mitzvah would be gone.
Right, you can't play.
Then it'll apply to them. You see, carrying only applies on Shabbos. On Yom Tov, you can carry the tzarech. Yom Tov. But if we would employ the isser of musical instruments and apply it to shofar, then shofar's gone. The whole mitzvah's gone. The baby chalalim. The mitzvah's gone. So therefore, they don't have the. You still can't play your guitar. Guitar you can't play because there's no pasuk in Chumash that says b'feirush that you play a guitar on Yom Tov or Shabbos. If there would be a pasuk that says b'feirush, then they couldn't ask for it. But there's a pasuk b'feirush that blow shofar. You see, but the Shabbos thing that only applies to Shabbos, but the Yom Tov thing would basically erase shofar legamri. Because that would apply to every Yom Tov. Adam?
The simple shot of the pasuk of blowing shofar, isn't that implying that it should be every year though?
But it's not. You see, that's what you said, my dear friend. That you said the right answer. Imply. What does imply mean?
It's not explicit.
The Taz says to Adam, says the Taz, imply is not the same thing as explicit. Explicit, no. Imply,
then the Chachamim still have the jurisdiction. But if it's explicit, then not. The difference between explicit and applied. You're right. It does apply. It does apply. And it is going against the Torah. But there's a difference when the Torah said something explicit or when the Torah lied.
That way we're not.
And it's obvious. And Adam says it's obvious. Adam says not only it implies, but it implies very strongly. And nonetheless, the Taz says that for the Torah knew what it was talking about. And the Torah could have said something explicit when it did, and could have said it and could have implied even strongly, and it didn't say explicit. See? So the Chachamim jurisdiction only is when the Torah doesn't make a comment or even implies but doesn't say explicitly. So now let's look at this on page 12. Let's look at the Taz. Sif Karton Hay, page 12. Ain't talking b'shofar. Mishum shema yitleda b'yodo leilechechet etzel boki. So there was a reason why you can't blow shofar on Shabbos is because you might go to the boki. V'yavivena dalet amas b'shus harabim. V'hikshe ha-mizrahi. Who's the Mizrahi? Huh? Rav, what was his first name? The Mizrahi. What's the first thing you think of? What? Commentary on Rashi on the Torah. Right? That's the thing you think. Mizrahi, right, first thing you think of is, oh, Mizrahi wrote a paper, should Rashi on the Torah. That's the first thing you're supposed to think of. Now, the fact that Mizrahi wrote Chubis Mizrahi, things like that, that's not his face. But, and now you can even, you know, if you want to get a bar mitzvah gift, you can buy a kid Mizrahi Chumash. You know, Chumash with the Rashi and Mizrahi. If you want to buy it, you know, we have it in the private fifth floor library to get it for a bar mitzvah present.
Just take
it from the fifth floor library. Well, you can take it from the fifth floor library, you
can see what it looks like. Oh, that's what I said.
So the Mizrahi says, Hiksha HaMizrahi B'yotiv Nami Nigzer. In other words, why are we only making Gezer on Rosh Hashanah Shachal Yivus Shabbos? Every Rosh Hashanah. Shem Yisak and Kli Shir. The Herich B'zeh. And he said, and he has a whole lot of Rikos. Ulasov lo tiritz kum. But at the end he didn't give an answer. So what's the answer? And he has daiti, so he's going to give a couple answers. The Taz, one answer he gives: the call hashofar lo nita l'shir el kulei shal mitzvah. Okay, no lo gozru kei. He says he doesn't think that's called a musical instrument. It's not a shir; it's just a. It's not shir. Shir is song. It's just is.
Yeah,
you don't really, it's not definitely not used as a musical instrument, so I don't need classic or anymore. The question is the cult shofar called, what's music?
Maybe we should get the
cantorial music schools right here. We should discuss what's called music. You know, different people have to. What does music mean?
But as you know, Rosh Hashanah, when we hear the shofar blast in general, we hear the shofar blast. We're not hearing and thinking, okay, oh, that's a nice tune. We're not making a tune. This is the cry.
Right, but cry is. But it's.
it's a symbol. I don't necessarily think it's... we don't classify it as like some sort of music.
But yeah, but what... what
it's not
right. It could be... I mean, it's a sound. The music is a sound. I mean, and the same way that any musical instrument could break, and you have to fix it, so the shofar also could break, and you know, it's the same. Okay, let's see. I mean, maybe that, then he says like this. Oh, nearly Latarix, one second. The Eilam Ligzu Lapa Lagamri Divrei Torah, Shitzifus Lokol Biyomzeh. That's the famous line. The second line. The Lako Legamre Divrei Torah. He says they can't totally Lako Legamre. Something that's what? Beferish. Explicit. Not implied. Adam? Explicit. Bishlo Lom Shabbos. Lom Sake Legamre. If you just don't blow on Shabbos, so you have the show for the rest of the time, so it's not really uprooting anything. Kevin should blow Shabbos talking biyotis. The nearest shezel bechlal masha osu siag la Torah. The lavo al divrei Torah. The zel lavo al divrei Torah la akro legamri. So that's how he answers the kasha. In other words, the first answer he says is maybe this is not called. Maybe that's what Josh is saying in the first answer. But the second answer is that even if it is called Kli Shir, the Mamaisa, that would do with the mitzvah of Gamri. And the Torah explicitly says there is a mitzvah. So Chacham can say, okay, don't do the mitzvah certain years. But they can't say never do the mitzvah. The halacha is that a bris milah is docha Shabbos. Right? If a child is born on Shabbos and it's not a C-section, it's a regular birth, and it's not born beit hashmashos, it's born on Shabbos proper, not during suffix time. They have the meal on Shabbos. So let me ask you a question. Why do we have bris milas on Shabbos? Why don't we make a gzeira that you're going to come to Karen? Right? There's another question that's raised. How come bris milas we allow on Shabbos? There's so many issues of carrying. You might carry the baby, you might carry the knife. Right? Well,
so it's me, you aren't going to carry the baby because that was
possible. Well, it depends where you have the bris.
Right. Because usually it's not a future.
Right, because you're living in the Arab generation.
Yeah.
But in the places where they don't have Arabs, or before Arabs, they didn't have home. Or what they did sometimes is they had a goy bring it to shul.
Wait,
you
have to
bring the
gravy
for Shabbos? No, I'm following. The oil comes to us. So the Beis Yosef asks, in the name of the Ran, what's the reason? So he gives some answer. He says, now, I don't know if you're going to like this. But the Taz says, V'yom hashmini afilu b'shabbos. That's how the Pasuk does say afilu b'shabbos. From that pasuk, Vayom Hashmini,
it applies.
It doesn't matter if the Shabbos or not.
So,
how does that apply though?
It didn't say not.
No.
Whatever Shmini day it is.
Well, Russell Hawthorne is a speaker of the famous Mishnah Zayra.
You want to give me a Torah Tamima Chumash? Which one? Vayikra? Torah Tamima? Thank you. Azariah? Okay. Shkoyach. Vayom Hashmini, Yimo Basar Lo. So the Gemara says, Vayom Afil B'Shabbos. So let's see what the Torah Tamima says. So Torah Tamima says it could have said, Josh, Uvashmini.
Right.
But the fact that it says Vayom Hashmini, so that means that Hindar Yom Shmini Dafka Beizu Yom Shayochel Yom Shmini Afil B'Shabbos. There is Uvayom Hashmini. He could have said Bishmini, but it says Vayom Hashmini means whatever day. It's like it says it explicitly. Whatever day Shmini is Chal. So that means whatever day Shmini is, even on Shabbos. So. You see, there's a truth in the Igros Moshe. Someone wanted to ask Rav Moshe about this. Is that called what? Oh, so the Taz says that's called explicit.
That's explicit.
So, because the word Yom, it didn't have to say that word Yom. Tazria Yud Beis Gimel. Beyom Hashmini. It could have said Bishmini. But Yom Hashmini means any day, whatever day the Yom Hashmini is, Yimol Basar Aloso. It could have just said Shmini. Yom is telling me that Dafka Biyom. So it always has to be Bishmini. So even on Shabbos. Shmini was said the eighth day, right? But then maybe we thought if the eighth day falls out on Shabbos, they're not. Uvayom Hashmini means whichever day that Yom is, that's the added emphasis. Oh. In Pinchas. Pinchas. So that's how the Torah Tamim explains. This is, could have said Shmini. It says Yom Hashmini. So it means it has to be Yom Hashmini. And therefore, even if it comes out on Shabbos, that's. You know, it's not the. You know, Adam's a little perturbed because it's still not 100%. But the Taz is saying that's called explicit. Because it says the extra word Yom. What are you saying?
What did we learn?
Tell me what we learned. Now we said Esei Dochel Osa Say if you had Tzaras on the Mila. So that's just a lav. Shabbos is Dochech Reis Kari Skile. It's not just a laugh.
The pasuk by Rosh Hashanah is so much more explicit. Yom Shuri Yelachem. meaning the whole day, here saying the whole day is defined by Yom Teruah.
Yom Teruah.
It's the same Lashon of Yom there.
Yom. So why do we say over there? Why do we say over there?
Just have Teruah.
Same idea. True, Yalachem. So I say Yom.
And the fact that.
No, one second. No. See, there we're not saying about the Shabbos. There we're saying it's explicit that you blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. But it's not teaching me Dafka B'Shabbos. So you're asking, why do we say the same thing? That Yom Teruah should say Afil B'Shabbos. Because it could have just said Teruah Yelachem. But you could have done the same thing.
And also it seems that when it's like classifying the different days and different korbanot, where you're doing, it always says it's like Uva Yom HaBikurin, Uva Chodesh HaShvi'i.
You have any good motion here?
Like there's something saying Uva Yom Ha, like so Shmi, that's all of a sudden inclusive, like. You could say that's the normal lashon. That's how we're just speaking because that's how the rest of it, Pinchas, is being spoken.
I think was I Chelik Beis? Yes. So therefore, what?
Therefore, so like by Yom Hashmini, all of a sudden we're saying, oh, that's inclusive of Shabbos. We're saying that's inclusive because
that's what the Gemara darshens.
But all the other times it's saying the same thing. It's saying by.
Uh-huh.
And it
continues using that lesson for almost everything else. Was it the first one or the second one? Put it down. See the second. But Moshe has a tshuva about this task. Let's see. Even the first chalak or the second chalak. I think it's in the beginning here. Let's see if I find it right now. In other words, the Gemara never darshened Yom Teruah Afilu B'Shabbos. The Gemara darshened B'Yom is Afilu B'Shabbos, and the Taz learns that's considered like it's explicit. So he wants to say, so therefore Chachamim don't have the ability to, you know, to be gozer. Let's see, one second. Of course. Yeah, this is the tshuva. So I'll give it to you to do it tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Well, it's a long time ago, before you were born. Avram Weinfeld? Wait, Avram, no? Is that the same? Yeah. Okay, so we saw today that you saw to the Tas. That's what we saw today. That something, and we're still having difficulty with this Mila thing, Miyom HaShabbos. But the Taz says anything explicit, so that's how the Taz explains why they can't make it on Rosh Hashanah. They can't ask the shofar in Gamre. And then he wants to extend it also from Mila B'Shabbos. And that's how he explained the Gemara, Lo Labo Al Divrei Torah, that Chachamim can never be over Al Divrei Torah. What does it mean, over Al Divrei Torah? It means they can't, if something is explicit, they can't say, don't do it. That would be Labo Al Divrei Torah. So tomorrow we'll speak more about that. And then, one other, so we saw the in Choshen Mishmat Siv Beis, we saw a Tov Kuv Beis, now we have to do the one in Yoredeya, Kuv Yud Zayin, about the Isser of Schor Rebbe Macholos Asuras. Right? There's a halacha, we have to see what this halacha is. You can't do business with treif. So I would say, could you own a treif restaurant in a non-Jewish community? All the people will be non-Jewish. And you'll buy treif meat and you'll sell treif meat. So the halacha is you're not allowed to. Even if it's not asur b'hanah, even if it's not asur b'cholov, just regular nevela. Regular nevela, there's an issur of schor b'macholos asuras. So the Taz has a whole discussion about this thing regarding his klal. That's the other area where he discussed it. So Bezer Hashem, tomorrow what I want you to do is to look at, to do the sugya, the Taz and Kuv Yud Zayin. That's on number 9, and then Josh will look up the Shuvah from Rav Moshe, right? And then we have to get back to our original question about Ki Sien Elish De Noshim, right? How, what's the heter of, why is it to marry two wives, if the Pasuk says Beferish Ki Sien Elish De Noshim? Okay? So those are upcoming attractions. Maybe.